Well, it's good to be with you guys again and be able to share in this Lord's Day and also the study of God's Word. It's great to spend some more time with y'all, and we really appreciate Lee and Diane and hosting us the past three trips we've been here. Three? It's been three, right? Yeah. So we really appreciate it. And enjoying this winter day. It's not spring yet here. I'm just letting you know. Just kidding. This is still winter for us. this past week we enjoyed the nice, you know, the high 70s, low 80s, you know, that temperature. So it was just perfect. So this is still cold. Well, today I wanted to go ahead and talk about Jonah. And I was trying to figure out what to talk about. And I love the story of Jonah. I grew up in the church. I grew up in Sunday school. And we talk about Jonah all the time, you know, and knew all the Bible stories and everything. But when I got older, I realized a lot of those stories are kind of forgotten. They're kind of like, well, that's for Sunday school. And it's not really talked about in the main service. It's not talked about as a congregation. Now, there's a guy in the church, older guy. He didn't grow up in the church. He became a Christian in his late teens, I think early college. And he never heard the story of Jonah until like 4 or 5 years after he was a Christian. He's like, what is this stuff we're, you know, I'm reading? Like, this stuff is so bizarre, so interesting. And, you know, and it's just, it seems, Jonah especially seems so far-fetched. But, you know, for me personally, I believe it's absolutely true. It's God's word. And so there's a lot of things we can learn from Jonah. So I decided I wanted to just go ahead and study Jonah and look at what Jonah teaches us. And I'm going to say this. My opinion, this is my opinion. It's not biblical fact or anything like that. I believe that Jonah was written by Jonah. And there's different ways you can look at it, and I'll kind of go into a little bit more details. But it's not known who wrote it, and there's different opinions on who wrote it. But if you look at it from the perspective, this is Jonah writing about a situation in his life. It kind of shows a different perspective on the passage. So, anyways, let's go ahead and turn to Jonah. We're going to be reading Jonah, pretty much the whole chapter of Jonah 1. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open it up to Jonah chapter 1. And we're just going to read the first, well, till verse, the first part of verse 3. So this is what it says. Jonah chapter 1. Verse 1 through 3a, if you want to talk about it. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, I kind of like to imagine what is going through Jonah's mind at this time. Here's Jonah. You know, I can imagine you being a morning like this, walking around, and if you know any of the history of what's going on at the time that God is saying this to Jonah, you can kind of imagine Jonah being really, really down, very kind of depressed. And the reason why is, I don't know if you guys know anything about the Assyrian Empire, but Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. And Assyria, if you read about it, there's not a whole lot of information about it. Pretty much most of the archives that we have, or the records of what we have, are about the battles that were raged or, you know, waged against the known world at that time for the most part. And so the Assyrians were basically at this time were threatening Israel. They were in the process of starting to conquer the known world. And if you read about the things that they did, and I can't talk about them obviously because kids in the room and stuff. And honestly, when I was reading about it, it just makes me feel sick. I mean, just the disgusting nature. These people love war. They love every aspect of it. They love to torture and do all these horrible things. And, you know, in our day of age, we're dealing with something that's on a much smaller scale than what Jonah would have been facing and thinking about, but it's with ISIS and thinking, you know, if you look at what people say about ISIS in America, which, you know, ISIS is primarily over in the Middle East, but people are afraid. They're afraid of what ISIS will do. And there's, you know, that's a whole political thing. But think about Jonah. Here he is about to, you know, Assyria is basically about to come in and probably destroy most of the country. And so there he is thinking about this, distraught, stressed out, you know, angry. Maybe, you know, I don't know what kind of guy he was exactly, but I can imagine him being more zealous. And here he is just thinking, you know, I'm just kind of speculating for a minute. But I imagine Jonah saying something along the lines of, like, you know, kind of just praying to God as he's walking, "God, please save us. Please help us with the Assyrians, you know, as they threaten us. You know, maybe if you want, I'll go out and I'll fight with the, you know, with the people. I will defend the nation of Israel." And then God says, "Go to Nineveh." And I could kind of think Jonah's like, okay, go to Nineveh. We'll gather the troops. We'll march there. You know, we'll go and attack this great civilization. I mean, it's huge, but we can do it because we have God on our side. But no, God says, go to Nineveh and preach against them. Now, you know, I'm sure Jonah's probably thinking, okay, you're crazy. You know, I mean, what does preaching do, really? I mean, just, you know, using some kindergarten wisdom, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt them. Okay, so preaching is not going to get the goal that Jonah's wanting, you know. So he's like, no, you know what? I'm going to run away. So Jonah runs away from God. And now he wanted to go to Tarshish. Now, I don't know if you know where Tarshish is, but let me kind of give you a map of where everything's located. So Jonah is in Israel, let's just say right around here. Nineveh is about 500 miles north. Tarshish is somewhere way over there. I mean, completely in the opposite direction. I was trying to figure out some kind of like comparison of, you know, like what it would be like for, you know, someone in Mountain City if they, God told them to go to Nineveh, what would it be like? Now, miles-wise, it'd be like saying God coming to you and say, go to Orlando, it's about a 550-mile walk, so a long time. So that's like Jonah going to Nineveh. What Jonah wanted to go do was going to Seattle, Washington. So you can kind of see how drastic, and that's pretty much as far away in the known world at that time. That's about as far away as you can get. So Jonah tries to go there. And something that's interesting is Jonah, when he goes there, what does he do? He goes to look for a boat, a ship. And the thing about the Mediterranean Sea, the path to Nineveh probably wasn't that bad. To go to Tarshish, in the Mediterranean Sea, there's so many large storms. And it was a few years ago. I can't remember when it was exactly. I was trying to find the article. But I'm sure it's happened since, but there's cruise liners that go throughout the Mediterranean Sea, and there's often times where those cruise liners are near sunk because of the storm that they face. So again, trying to show how dangerous this trip was for Jonah to take, but Jonah would rather face the big storms, the you know possibility of dying, versus going to Nineveh and preaching. So let's go ahead and keep reading, Jonah chapter 1, 3 through 16. So, but Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is the occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you." However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. So Jonah, he finally makes it to the port, Joppa, to go and to, you know, he gets on the boat, and by this time he's already, you know, I guess exhausted from the travel and all, dealing with everything. And I'm sure the stress of, you know, him disobeying God has probably just about wiped him out. So he goes down underneath the boat. One thing we can learn about Jonah is that when we run from God, God notices. Jonah tried to run from God. He tried to go, you know, to a place where God wasn't at. He thought he could escape God's presence. So he left and went. But one thing we can learn is that no matter, you know, if we run, God will notice. He noticed things. In Proverbs 15:3, it says, it tells us this, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Now, when we find ourselves in places where we have to make, you know, a good or bad decision, we're in that time where it comes down to the line whether we're going to do what's right or whether we're going to do what's wrong. God notices whether we do the right or whether we do the wrong. And sometimes we get caught up in, you know, like, well, you know, maybe I can hide this, I can bury this, and eventually, you know, it'll disappear. But God notices. So Jonah, he decides, you know, I'm going to run. He's at the port. And after some time traveling, the sea starts getting choppier. So he's out at sea. I don't know how far. I imagine it wasn't a terribly long period of time. So he's out at sea and traveling. And this, you can start seeing the clouds come in and the storm starting to come and the waves getting bigger and tossing and turning. And eventually, they're in this massive storm. And everyone was afraid. And, you know, at this point, you know, the captain, he doesn't know where Jonah's at. So I imagine, you know, he's probably thinking, oh no, we lost him. He fell overboard in the storm or something like that. But no, Jonah, of course, he's sleeping in the midst of a heavy storm. You know, everyone's freaking out. And these guys are sailors, which means, you know, this is a big deal. This is a big storm. But yet Jonah is sleeping. And, you know, it's kind of just the taste of what you get from the Jonah's character. It's like, of course he would. I mean, if anyone's going to do that, Jonah would. But it's interesting, Jonah's not the only one who slept during the midst of a big storm. Do you remember what Jesus was doing on the Sea of Galilee? Let's take a look at that real quick. In Matthew 8:23-26. Matthew 8:23-26. Again, Matthew 8:23. When he got onto the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep, and they came to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and became perfectly calm. So Jesus, too, was sleeping like Jonah, and neither of them seemed afraid. Honestly, like, Jonah doesn't seem afraid in the midst of the storm. Both are woken up by the shipmates. However, the captain tells Jonah to pray to God, where Jesus demonstrates to the apostles that he is God. And it's kind of an interesting similarity between them. So the captain tells Jonah, get up and pray to your God. So there they were, all praying, you know, well, maybe. I mean, honestly, if Jonah knows, I mean, it seems like he already knows the reason why the storm is here. So he's probably not really praying. I don't know if you've done this before. I found myself doing it a few times where you know you've been in the wrong and you try to pray and it's just like, what's the point? You know, it's like this prayer means absolutely nothing. So I imagine Jonah's probably just sitting there, you know, head bowed, not really, you know, paying it or praying like he should be praying and trying to repent. And so eventually they get to the point where they're at a loss. So they draw lots. Now, I don't know if you guys know what lots are or what it means to draw lots. The best comparison I thought of is, as a kid, what I would do whenever we played hide-and-go-seek, tag, things like that, we used to grab sticks. And, you know, one stick would be shorter, one stick would be longer, depending on which way you wanted it. And you'd go around and everyone would draw a stick. And whoever got the shortest stick or the longest stick, they were the person who was it. So it's all basically luck. And or, you know, chance as to who was going to get it. And so this is what the people are up to, which is, it was a normal pagan idea, was to draw lots. And so here they are casting, you know, drawing lots. Each one grabs one. And of course, Jonah gets the one that, you know, symbolizes that he's the one, he's the cause. So they freak out, you know, it's like, it's you, Jonah. Why, in the world? What did you do? Who are you? And I love this. In verse 9, it says, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Now, I love that. Because Jonah, even though he's running from God, he knows what he's doing is wrong. But he hasn't forgotten who he is. He hasn't forgotten his job, what he's supposed to do. And I should back up. Jonah wasn't just some person. You know, there's people in church who, they're just kind of sitting on the sidelines. Jonah wasn't that guy. Jonah was a guy who was basically the minister in the city during this time. You know, he was the one who was reaching out to the people. And there's according to tradition, it's not necessarily in the Bible, but Jewish believe that Elisha had appointed him to anoint one of the kings, Jehu, something like that. He anointed one of them a king, but it's more of a Jewish tradition, not by the Bible. But anyways, but he is a person. He's a prophet. He is one of God. And so he's not just, you know, he knows exactly what he's doing. So he doesn't forget who he is, though. And he remembers that he is a servant of God. And he points out to these people, these pagans, that his God is, you know, creator, or is in charge of the seas and the land. And in Psalms 107:29, it says, he caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. And I tell you, this is something that has been, just in the past like day or two, it really kind of hit home for me. And I never thought about it this way, but Jonah has a lot of faith. And I've never looked at it that way. I never, you know, I always thought, oh, he's a runner, you know, bad guy. He disobeys God. But if you look at the whole story of Jonah, Jonah's a man of faith. First of all, he believes that God is able to control the seas, the storms, or in the land. He also believes that God can destroy Nineveh, and he also believes that God can save Nineveh. And so Jonah is a man, he is a man of faith, at least in his power, in God's power. And, you know, and I honestly struggle. There's a lot of times in my life where it's like, you know, I wonder if God has the, not so much he has the power, more of the time, but does God have the power to help me in my situations? But it seems like Jonah has a lot more faith than at least I realized. So there the sailors are, and they're wondering, what should we do? What should we do? And again, Jonah, and it's kind of a crazy side to Jonah, I think. Because what does Jonah tell him to do? Throw me into the sea. Now, I kind of was trying to, you know, as I was analyzing the passage and everything, I was like, okay, who does Jonah remind me of? Jack Sparrow. Have you guys ever seen, okay, Pirates of the Caribbean? It's like, I mean, he's kind of weirdo, crazy guy. I kind of, like, I'm starting to picture Jonah now more as Jack Sparrow than originally, you know. It's like, here he is, just throw me in the sea. That'll work. So Jonah tells him to do this, and the response of the people is, no, we're not going to do that. These pagans would rather save Jonah and put him on shore, but no, that's not what God wants. So eventually they get to the point, I'll stop there real quick. Another thing, with that is, like, I wonder, what was Jonah thinking? Why did he say, throw me in the sea? Why didn't he say, row back to shore? Or something else? Why did he say, throw me in the sea? And, you know, maybe, you know, God had revealed to him that I will save you if you're thrown into the sea. I don't know. Odds are I don't think so. Maybe it was just he just realized that, okay, I'm in the wrong, and now I'm harming all these people, and I've fallen short, so I'll allow God to deal with me as he pleases. Whether he wants to save me or not, I put up in his hands. But either way, we can learn from Jonah that God also, when we run, he intercedes. He intercedes. He sends things to get our attention, to get us off the course we're going or the path we're wanting to go, and get us on the right course. Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the greatest way where we can see where God's interceded on our behalf. So Jonah was thrown overboard into the sea, and the storm stops. It's calm again. It's just like any normal day in the ocean, I guess. But you look at the sailors and the reaction, and which is very interesting. Here, Jonah is running away from winning over 120,000 people to the Lord, to go to a ship where he ends up leading him to Christ, or to God, anyways. Because what they do in turn is turn back to God, and even Even when we disobey God and we, you know, we do things that aren't right, God can still use our decisions to influence people around us and to really reach out and bring people to Him even. Now, I'm not saying that we should go out and do bad things so that we can lead people to Christ. That's not what I'm saying. But God can still use bad situations for good. So Jonah's sinking to his death, is what he would probably assume. And then, of course, the great sea creature comes. And he engulfs Jonah and or swallows him. I guess technically didn't eat him. But anyways, then, you know, there's a lot of rumors, you know, people try to trace back as to what ate Jonah. And was it a fish? It says a sea creature is what the most biblical term is. Something in the sea, or whale, or something like that. And at least for a visual purpose, I think of Finding Nemo, where Merlin and Dory, right? Yeah, are in the whale is, you know, it's not the nicest thing, and you know. So imagine Jonah being trapped in that whale, and you know, it's dark, it's dingy, it's limey, there's other rotting things in there, and it's like, it's just this horrible thing. And, you know, of course, generally when you get eaten or you eat something, you digest something, it eventually comes out. So I'm sure that's in Jonah's mind, too. But, you know, it being dark, it being gross, nasty, just horrible. And, of course, Jonah's there alone. And, you know, there's times, I don't know about you, but in my life where I kind of felt like Jonah. Of course, I wasn't in a whale or a fish or anything like that. But I was, you know, I felt alone. I felt like it was just dark, or it was, no one was, you know, I was just abandoned in a sense, or feeling abandoned. And, you know, it kind of stunk too. And there was a time I was in high school, I think it was my sophomore year, and life was okay. It wasn't bad. It was just, for some reason, just things started being depressing. And I remember just feeling alone. I had friends. I had people I hung out with. My walk with God was, I went to church every day, I did devotion, things like that, but it just didn't seem right, and I still felt alone. I didn't feel like I was doing what I was supposed to do, and, you know, I felt abandoned. And also trapped. And something, through that situation, I really realized, it's in times like that, it's in times when we feel that trap, that abandonment, that feeling of being lost, that's when God is usually working the hardest in our lives. We don't see it, but that's when God's working the hardest. So there was Jonah stuck in the belly of the sea creature and nothing else to do. So what does he do? He prays. And if you read in chapter 2, the prayer that Jonah gives, this is just a great, great prayer. And so what happens, of course, we all know, is that Jonah repents and God gives him a second chance. And at the end of Jonah's prayer, he's thrown up on land, saved, probably pasty and all that from all the belly acid and whatnot in there. But he's at least alive. You know, I'm glad our God's like that. I'm glad our God is a God who, when we make mistakes, where we run away, He gives us second chances. And He never leaves us or forsake us. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you." There's a poem, you probably all have heard it. I love, probably one of my favorite poems. But I want to go ahead and read it to you. It's been around for a long time. But this is how it goes. "One night I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. And across the sky flashed scenes of my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints. One belonged to me and other to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that there were many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I also noticed that the times happened at the very lowest and saddest times of my life. This really bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why in times when I needed you the most, you should leave me. The Lord replied, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you or forsake you. During your times of trials and sufferings, when you saw only one set of footprints, that's when I carried you. Isn't that true? Isn't that who our God is? That when we struggle, when we look at Jonah, what did he do? God told him to do something. He ran in the opposite direction, almost as far as he possibly could. If you look at him, he was stubborn. He was, in ways that he was mean because he caused this cruelty around the people who, he was with. And he, blatantly disobeyed God. But when Jonah decided to run, God ran too. And no matter how far, no matter where, no matter how long, even though we may run, God won't run away. God will always be there. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much that you are a God who's always there. And we can trust on you, that you carry us when we can't seem to go any farther. And Lord, you're great and merciful. And Jonah's a good example of a lot of different times in our lives when we choose to not do what you say. We choose to follow in a different direction. But God, you give us second chances, and you don't give up on us. And God, I pray that right now, if anyone has a decision to make, that they will make it. If they feel like they've run away from God, I pray that they will see the sign to turn back to him. We love you in your son's holy name, we pray. Amen.